I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's good? Happy Tuesday. And welcome. This is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. And the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. I'm Choice Woodman alongside Matt Esteson today.
It's been a while.
That felt incomplete. I know it cuts off there, but Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, whatever you got, bring it all in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Through that 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can carry just about anywhere with you. Even listening up in Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
Okay.
It's probably real. I might not have made it up. We'll see.
I feel like that's a place that Clint would be from.
Arkadelphia?
If we didn't know where he was from.
Yeah, I definitely think that would fit.
How?
I don't know.
I don't even remotely have the accent.
You just fit that kind of description.
I mean, you are pretty backwoods.
That's fair.
Yeah, like, that's probably where I was going with that, too. Is like you just
go look at Clint's Facebook pages with all the fish and the those sorts of things.
I don't even post anything on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Well, then just the ones you show
those
me.
Those are just for me.
Sitting next
those
to you.
Those are for my private wall.
You don't. If you didn't post them on Facebook, it didn't happen. It's all lies.
It's mostly just
it's like
for
your workouts.
Like my dad and I text
those people.
Yeah. Or you didn't vote unless you posted that you voted. That's the one that annoys me the
right?
most. Well, one of it, the ones that annoys me
I
the
do
most.
It in Spanish, so it doesn't count. Yo voté. Just kidding. Y'all. We'll take anything and everything. We got a Tech baseball game coming up tonight. Rangers are actually about to get underway as we speak. We'll talk some football, a little bit of everything here in today's show. How you been, Matt?
I've been good.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while. So life's good. Busy.
Yeah, I see you're donning the Texas Tech Under Armour gear for...
It's going to continue
okay.
even when the new gear comes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
When does that go out of commission officially? July 1st? It's not too long away from now.
I mean, I will be looking forward to Jamie giving new shirts out, but
you're not as sad as the guy that normally sits there about it, are you? About the old switcheroo?
I'm not sad. It's not ruining my day by any chance. I mean, I do wear, I mean, my closet, most of my polos are Under Armour anyways. So,
yeah.
Like, I do like the brand.
Yeah.
So, I would prefer to stay, but they didn't call me to that meeting to ask what my thoughts were.
They didn't call
no,
you.
No, they didn't call me to be part of the logo, or not the logo, but the brand switch, so...
I wouldn't put your hopes up way too high on Adidas shirts coming... Our way with the double T logo?
Probably not.
Is that because they're not going to come first, or it's that I won't be here when that happens? Which one of those options?
Oh, no, it's because of who's probably deciding that thing.
Yeah.
Probably that, yeah.
Under Armour took two school losses with Tech and Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn's obviously
and
a big
Auburn
one,
was
too.
One of their main... Their staples, I believe, when they first started in that.
Well, Tech and Under Armour, or Tech, Auburn, Maryland, I think there was one more. There were four charter schools with Under Armour. And
Maryland won't ever switch, though, because that's where Under Armour's home office is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure.
And that's where the guy went, Plank, or whatever his name is.
I'm sure
the
they
CEO.
Get plenty of extra stuff.
Sure. Sure. It's like the Nike and Oregon thing. But,
yeah,
I can't remember the fourth school. There were four
charter schools that went out with Under Armour in 2006, I want to say. And they lost two of them this year, which is massive for Under Armour. And then they signed Notre Dame to a big contract. So I wouldn't be surprised if after the Notre Dame contract's up, if they just kind of folded in on the jersey apparel and stuff.
You think?
I don't know. They had the way Under Armour's handled things has been troubling for them, because they had the contract in hand to have all the MLB jerseys this last time around, and then they couldn't fund it. They couldn't handle it. So Wow. So it turned over to Nike at that point. That was supposed to be start in 2023, I think. Maybe it's been longer than that. Either way, they had that contract, and they were going to be the MLB provider, and then didn't work out. So I don't know. I guess there's been some issues on the money side of things for Under Armour in recent years. So I don't know what they'll do. But I'm like you. Most of the stuff I have is Under Armour, but we'll switch over and we'll go European, apparently.
Yeah. No, it won't bother me either way.
I don't know. It's just going to be weird to me. We will talk a little Tech baseball a little bit later in the program. We'll get into you big and hot and heavy into the NBA playoffs. You ready for that?
Yeah. Watched.
I don't even know what team you're. Are you a Mavericks guy?
He is a Celtics guy.
I knew
and
that.
And he is so excited to be disappointed again this year. I'm just
it
saying.
It feels that way,
it's going to happen.
They've been playing so bad lately.
I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that because that's what I'm actually predicting. As a former Celtics guy.
Yeah.
What is going to be more disappointing? The Celtics in the postseason this year, or Allen Iverson's face when he saw how little his statue was? Did you see that thing? Did they like run out of money like halfway through this?
Must have been Under Armour making that statue.
Yeah,
we can't really afford that.
We can only fund about half the size of what you're wanting here. I mean, that is the smallest statue I've ever seen. I mean, you got all these new ones like Dirk Nowitzki and Kobe that are larger than life.
Kobe got three, right? I think he was getting multiple statues.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I think so.
The first one he got was 8 foot tall or whatever. You're getting these massive statues. You get this little 3-footer.
I feel like that's a Philadelphia thing, though.
You think so?
They just don't. I don't know.
Is it like Philadelphia is they don't like their players, or
one player like that you should like that feels like fit that whole scheme, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, just the way Allen Iverson was and took care of himself off the court. You feel like that was the kind of player that like you would definitely go overboard to celebrate, and instead, you know, yeah, you're like, well, here's a tiny, you know, tiny statue. Here's a little gesture, but we'll see what the Celtics do. I don't know. For your first question, I would like to see the Mavs do okay. I like to see all the Texas teams. I mean, I'm not huge on the Rockets.
Yeah. They didn't make it in, so.
Yeah, I know. But, even with the Spurs and stuff, I hope that they continue to build and do good. I want to see Texas teams typically do well.
Y'all can chime in with whatever you want. Yates Flooring Center chat line wide open to you. We'll get to comments from you. Get to a few different topics of the day, including a new commitment for Texas Tech basketball. Big one there. We'll visit that after some headlines coming your way next. You're listening to The Bottom Line with you till 3 o'clock on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Breaking news coming your way in 15 minutes. Secret word of the day. Catch the ball, dude. Just went right by your glove. Sorry. I am distractible. We will give you a secret word, but we also have a breaking news. We will reveal the odds for the upcoming Into the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line. The odds have been put out.
Oh, okay. Well,
the horses are all there, all 20 of them.
Okay.
So we will tell you what the odds are for each horse to, so you can start wagering among each other.
I'll have to go outside the state to place bets on it. So
I don't think you have to.
Yeah. Well, we found that out, huh?
I did. y'all can keep chiming in if you got thoughts, comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone says, Woodman, what song is in your head right now? I've told before, I don't know if it's what it is about me, but I always have a song in my head, no matter what.
Okay.
The song today is one that probably only Clint would know. It's a song called Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah.
Didn't think you.
I'm not the music guy.
You dabbled in the...
My wife, you can put
alt music.
Anything on from the 60s all the way up to probably today's music, and she'll nail it. I mean, she loves music, and
yeah,
that's not me.
So Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional, never heard it?
That's
what's in the head. Clint said his, that's in his head, is Man, I Feel Like a Woman. So
no, that was my guess for you.
No.
Was it not? Sure it was I wrong? I was having to fix something.
I saw the
parrot over here. What was your answer?
Hands Down.
Okay. I did hear you say that. Never mind.
This from the chat line. Not a game. We talk about practice. It's hard to think of AI without thinking of that. That, Ty Lue
stepping
situation,
over. Yep.
Or the, or for Tech fans, him beating up on Tech in the Sweet 16 of the 1996 NCAA tournament.
Crossing over Jordan.
That one, yeah. That one's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Paramutual wagering is what's legal.
Paramutual wagering.
Horse
racing.
Yeah. That's the
that's what we
only
allow,
legal allow. Yeah.
I just saw an ad for the horse races at Grand Prairie, and I'm like, how does that work? Do they just not bet on the horses here? how do you have a horse races without gambling? Apparently it matters. My guess for choice would be Did I Shave My Legs for This? Is that a song?
I told you where I'm at. Yeah.
I guess so. So Justin that texted that in, you know that song and I don't even know it. Speaks about you.
Yeah.
You look like a female. take that. Okay, you had a question for me?
Maybe. Yeah, so we just had some success at the Masters this week, right? Texas Tech.
I would say so,
finishing number two.
It's pretty good. $2.16 million for our guy. I wish he would share it with me.
It is a real song.
Yeah.
Someone by the name of Deanna Carter.
There you go.
Okay. Wow.
So what would you shoot at Augusta?
Oh, gosh.
So this argument stemmed from a group of mine.
This is such a...
The argument stemmed from a group that plays. I have some good. Well, they're friends. I've known them for 30 years, and they're about on your limit of golf. They shoot in the mid 80s, pretty consistently.
Okay,
they've broken 80 once.
Okay,
and they made the claim that they can stay under 100 at
broken
Augusta.
80 once. Okay,
on home courses.
Yeah, my best shot was a home course.
So if you and the argument this year, I saw a lot on the web just with various arguments of how amateurs would play at Augusta. And some of their answers, these are professionals or guys that, you know, are a much higher echelon of golfers than just about anybody I know personally.
These are some of those cringy conversations, not the question itself, but like the confidence that people can have. Because like Chuck thinks he can swim with Olympic swimmers if he's in his.
That's where I have the issue.
Okay.
Besides, not just with Chuck, but the gap of professional athletes
it's enormous.
To people like me and you don't know your athletic ability. I don't know Clint's athletic ability, but I think the gap is so massive, right?
It's huge. Yeah.
So
with that being said,
like what would you shoot? Where would you shoot? I mean, Tiger only finished at plus 11.
Yeah, I think
on your best day, I'll give you that.
On my best day, I think the course would still eat my lunch, and I would shoot in the upper 90s.
Best day. So you're with my see? I disagree.
I think I'd break 100?
I think for 100%, y'all would be over 110.
Oh, no, not 110. Takes.
Because that was the argument from most of these professionals.
And this is actually,
the greens here, would crush y'all.
The greens would be tough.
Y'all are going to drive. If you drive straight all the time, it doesn't matter your course. You're probably going to drive straight.
That's a lot of confidence in his drives going, you know, straight.
Well, again, I've never played golf with Choice. But if you're a consistently straight driver.
You said my best day. And
your
I'm
best
saying
day.
My best day. Like, I'm balling out. There's no reason I couldn't shoot under 100.
Because
he's balling out. No one else is also keeping track of his scores and questioning him on anything that he's throwing out.
Is this with fans watching every shot?
Oh, no.
Okay, so we're gonna exclude that.
That factors in, and that would be, I'm going to.
Because every course I've played, not just locally, I've played, you know, some outside of the state of Texas. I played in Georgia quite a bit. So I've played enough courses to feel like I've never played a course where you're going to look at the green and be like, if I don't chip this ball 50 to 60 feet before the hole, I'm going to be completely off. Most of the time when you play courses as amateurs, we chip to hopefully hit the ball, drop about 10 feet because it's going to die,
you're
right?
Absolutely right.
You think you're going to stay under 100 on your best day.
Well, this is the only reason is that it's actually a course I know. I've played it in video games. I've watched it forever. No,
I'm a video game master. I'm good with that.
No, I'm telling you, like, I'm not a video game master. I just know this was like, I bought the whatever year it was, 2010 game just
that's
for the
like
purpose
saying,
of playing
that. I could hit a home run in Yankee Stadium because I've played
because
MLB the Show, and
saying,
I know that park like the back of my
hand.
There
are nuances to the course where on number 16, you know where it feels. I have holes memorized on this course, and I can't do that for any course I haven't played before. But on number 16, you know where the ball is going to feed to. You know exactly on the green where the ball feeds to.
I'm just going to say I buy your argument, which I don't for everybody. What is
no
what is
one
the
else
next sport
either.
That you played dominant? What is your next like sport that you played as a kid? You played baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're saying you'll stay under 100, which we saw pros this week completely struggle all over the course.
Sure.
Okay. And their worst day is way better than your best day. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So
No,
there's no it's a fact.
On that course, yes.
So you're saying since you played baseball out of, let's just say, 100 pitches by Clayton Kershaw or any other starting pitcher, how many are you going to hit? Don't tell me zero because
that
negates your under 100.
The problem.
Thank you, Clint.
100?
Out of 100 pitches, will you make a contact on any?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A problem with this is I just watched this Dude Perfect video.
I need your audio.
Where one of the guys got a hit off of a pro pitcher throwing 96.
Yeah, but what were the behind-the-door arguments? Like, hey, you can only throw a fastball at us.
No, he did him dirty on some pitches.
I just don't think you would stay under
100 pitches, I'm going to make contact. Yeah, I could make contact off that. That's I also have the confidence that none of y'all could get a hit off of me if we would go out and I would pitch to you. I have that kind
You're
of confidence.
Crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
I would get so you could hit off a professional, but I couldn't hit off you?
Oh, not 100 pitches, but one at bat. You're not getting a hit off me.
You would hit me.
Probably. That's the most likely scenario. Why did you bring this up? It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. Now joining us from Arkansas is Jamie Lint. I'm Choice Woodman here in the First United Bank studio. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. Keep hitting us up. Whatever thoughts, comments, questions you got, bring those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can even listen in out in Umpire, Arkansas, if you so choose.
No way.
Yeah. So they've already got him on their side. Like, already an uphill battle.
Clearly just trying to kiss up.
That's what it sounds like. Let's see. Umpire Arkansas has a population of 303 people.
And all of them think they're right all the time.
Oh, too bad Snead didn't just, wasn't just.
He's probably listening.
There's a good chance of it. There's a good chance of it. Umpire is directly north of Texarkana, Jamie.
Man, you would never want to marry a girl from Umpire.
Gosh. Well, I mean, we already.
Pure torture.
Those of us that are in marriages that, you know, stick around and work, we already know she's right all the time. Right, so we just kind of have to just let it go, so might as well.
I don't know about knowing that it's right or just being willing to just let it go.
Touche. You don't want to get kicked out of the game. So.
Yeah, I don't think my wife is a complete genius. You know, I think she makes mistakes. I just choose not to tell her all the time.
Whoa. What is going on? There's no chance she's listening, right?
No, and I don't think she's any chance she's listening, but regardless, I mean, do you think that she thinks I'm right all the time?
No. Absolutely not.
I mean, we're human beings.
She thinks she's right all the time.
We're wrong sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Y'all can chat to us on the chat line. We'll get into some football talk, a little baseball talk, as the Red Raiders are in Arkansas today, getting ready for a matchup with the old Woo Pig Suey. So this Arkansas team, Jamie, they seem to be a really good baseball team from what I can gather. Just my crack research shows me, hey, these guys are good. But also, they're coming off of a rare week where they weren't, you know, super excellent. So,
right.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, they're angry, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was
wondering. Lost a couple of games.
Yeah.
So they're coming in off of two straight losses, and I don't know. I mean, I don't look at their offense and think it's, you know, just crazy good. It's going to outshine the Red Raiders. I don't look at that at all. Obviously, they play really tough competition in the SEC. But, I mean, they scored, one run in a loss to Oklahoma State in like 14 innings.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at their two losses over the weekend, and they didn't just, you know, light it up in those games. They scored, three and none, got shut out.
Yep.
Okay. They lost at home to James Madison.
That was game three of the season, though, right?
But it happened.
It did happen. Is that the only loss they have at home?
Yes, they are, I believe, 25-1, I believe.
All right. So they're due for another one. That's what you're trying
to say. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about. You know, it's just, 25-1. Whew. I was just thinking about this and I was out walking about. Okay, and I know you can't do this, but I'm just going to do it anyways. I mean, you felt really good. I mean, obviously you win a game against UCF on the road, right, where you get really good pitching from Mac Hewer. You win a game 3-2, and it kind of kicks off a little win streak for you, right? Yeah. Offensively, you score a bunch of runs, and you beat Stanford. And you score a bunch of runs, and you beat Houston. And you know, you got a home sweep and you feel like things are going in the right direction, right? And then, you know, you go on the road on Wednesday, and although you expected, hey, we should be able to win this game, you're a little nervous just because of the way your pitching situation is. And
yeah.
Your pitching was really good, and with some guys at the top of your list. And then your offense explodes, and then you go into Friday and you just played really good, sound baseball there, right? And you win 7-1, and it was a closer game than that. I mean, you got a couple tack-ons there late at the end of the game against their back end of their pen, but it was closer than that. But still, it was a good baseball game. And then on Saturday, you play a pretty good baseball game. And the same thing on Sunday. But let's just say, let's say Austin Green, who was the second out of the top of the ninth, who hit the ball on a line hard, his ball gets into the gap. Okay, and 2-run score, and Parker Hutera finishes that thing out in the bottom of the ninth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you win the game, you win the series. All right? I feel like, and I'm not saying this is fan base or you choice or anybody, but I'll include myself into the mix. I feel like we've all been like, oh man, everything's lost. We're not a good baseball team anymore. You know, you were so close to winning that series. You were so close to kind of getting over the hump of winning a big series on the road and all of those things. And I'm telling you, I know what the record is. TC is not a terrible baseball team.
Sure.
They're loaded with talent. Okay.
Sure.
And you played pretty clean baseball and all that, but it's, you know, I mean, obviously Kevin Bizzell hits the ball hard and then so did Austin Green. And very easily, one of those could have been a single that dropped in front of the outfielder or could have split the two outfielders and you score two and you win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we've all gone to like, eight-game losing streak meant nothing. This team's still terrible. They're back to being terrible because they lost a game 4-2 and a game 4-3 on the road against a team that started the year 13-0 and was preseason number 5 in the country. Why were they preseason number 5 in the country? Because they are loaded with talent.
I think there are some fans, Jamie, that are in that category of the terrible. I get it. I think there's some level-headed fans that know that this is a good baseball team, but the expectation or the hope is that you would be a great baseball team. I mean, you're a good baseball team. You're in the postseason if it started today. But it's we've been spoiled by seeing great baseball teams, and you are a few plays away from being in that category this year.
Yeah, I feel like we had started to see a turn there, and then just a little hiccup on Saturday and Sunday where you lost close games where you played well and you didn't boot it around all over the place. Now there were two plays in Saturday's game that could have gone differently that could have each saved a run, but. I mean, I feel like the team has improved so much of where they were at the beginning of the season, but I just don't think they're that bad. I think they're close, and the record doesn't show, even though the record's 26-11.
Jamie, I'm going to cut you off. We're going to go to break real quick, and we'll continue this on the other side.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Tuesday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman here in the First United Bank Studio. Jamie Lint joining us from the road, Fayetteville, Arkansas, where we'll see the Red Raiders play against the Razorbacks coming up a little bit later tonight. Real quick update from the Rangers game. For any Rangers fans that are still hanging out with us today, 1-1 tie, Rangers and Detroit in the top of the fifth inning. The game is flying. Flying along. Sorry, Clint. Runners at the corners with two outs for the Rangers there, so see if Simeon can break it open. Jamie, I had to cut you off there, but we were talking Red Raiders and how it feels like this team is – it feels like you're right there. Because remember, you lose a walk-off game at UCF, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where you're ahead in that one. You lose close games at Baylor. You've been in so many of these close situations where, and you don't get to rewind the tape on them, but if one or two things go different, you got a handful more wins this year, and you are in that elite conversation of some of the best teams in the country based off of your loss record.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously the big thing there is the hitting with runners in scoring position, right? If you're getting more hits in the key situations, then you are winning those games. At times it's been a little bit about the pitching, but more times than not, it's been about you not scoring, you know, enough runs, to be honest with you. It's, you know, and you just, there's not that large margin of error this year when you're exploding, having those huge, massive games. And so your defensive struggles or your pitching issues have shown up at times. I guess the sad part is it feels like, you know, with you're able to now that your pitching has come together pretty decently, I still would like to see, I'd like to see Robinson and also Hewer kind of get back to where they were, because both have been okay over the last few weeks, not great, but okay. And, you know, I feel like Ryan Free is kind of taking steps in the right direction, and we're seeing good things there. And your bullpen, terrific this weekend. They didn't allow a single earned run. So, and they were, they had a bunch of innings to pitch. So they did a great job. It's just getting the offense. And again, you competed offensively. You just, when it came to the clutch situations, you didn't get the hits.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's coming down to. Is that something, have we crossed the point of that's who you are? You're just lacking in the clutch gene for this team? Or is that something that you think can still be found? It's just one of those things in baseball, you can get hot and you can start hitting in those situations.
Well, I would tell you, if I was a betting man, I would bet on that's who you are. I mean, at this point of the season, as deep as you have gone.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that that can't change. I mean, I'm holding out hope that it can and will.
Sure.
And I do think it's one of those things that's contagious. And so maybe, you know, performing in a couple of those situations when you really needed it, you know, kind of loosens everybody up and everybody starts to react. Who knows? But again, when you're this deep into the season and you're still having that same issue, especially on the road, that's why it just feels like it's the same thing over and over again. And that's why I lean towards thinking that's kind of who you are.
This says, they say if you're only a few plays away from being a great team, it's a coaching issue. Agree or disagree? I've never heard that saying personally, but
I've never heard that either.
But I wouldn't. I mean, the coaches aren't out there booting the ball around or not hitting with runners in scoring position. So I don't know. I'm not, the coaches are ultimately responsible for everything that goes on the field. So
sure. And they coach them up to hit in those situations and field in those situations and all the above. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's a coaching situation, but I would say they're a part of it.
This from the chat line, if this is an average team, we have West Virginia, OU, OSU still to go. I don't see this team winning more than one of those series. That's not going to result in a tourney bid unless maybe you sweep Arkansas and the one series you do win. You got two of them at home, so that's...
Yeah, you got two at home, and that's good news. West Virginia and Oklahoma are both at home. Don't forget Kansas on the road, which I don't think is an easy series either. I think they're a decent baseball team, so that's going to be a tough one too. You know, we'll have to see. I think you've got a chance to... Man, and then you could look at the Oklahoma State thing and say, gosh, how many times have we said, oh, man, we got to go to Stillwater. They're loaded. We can't win there. And you come away with a sweep. So I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, predicting a sweep or anything like
sure,
that.
Sure, but
I just, for whatever reason, the Red Raiders seem to always play well there.
Yeah, I bet the OSU fans kind of have that mindset, too. It's like, oh, great, they're back here because of how it's going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't call it an average team at this point, but you're slightly above average.
Your record kind of shows that's kind of where you are. I do feel like there's a little left on the table here that we're better than that record shows, that we have the potential to be there, but right now they're just not there.
Are you saying Big 12 record? Because 26-11 is one of the best.
It's pretty good. Yeah, no, I'm talking Big 12 record. Yeah, yes. Okay. And I do think that the Red Raiders, you know, eventually you are who you are. And, you know, if you're 500 in Big 12 play, that's what you are. You're a 500 team because you're not consistent enough. You can't put it all together day in and day out. So you have to just kind of lean towards that's who you are.
You know, I think the approach this the rest of the year obviously needs to be just winning series, like as a fan, even if you're trying to get your hopes up and saying, oh, let's go win the Big 12 or anything. My approach, I'll say, I won't have to preach to other people. My approach is if you go win series, some of this stuff's going to take care of itself. If you found a way to split in Fayetteville, that'd be awesome. Found a way to get it done. But I think those games that the texter mentioned, the series, the Big 12 series that are left, if you find a way to win those series, you're easily a postseason team because those are the highest RPI teams left in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Y'all keep the comments coming in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Tyler says our win-loss record is dependent on our wind direction.
That's he's probably joking a little bit, but there's truth to that and that. I mean, wind direction slash is the ball carrying slash how big is the ballpark? Because obviously when you can hit home runs and fly balls carry, you seem to win a lot more games. Yep. But when you're playing at places where that's not the case, it's much harder for you to win.
So the stadium in Arkansas, what are we looking at? Any sort of hitter's park?
I seem to remember the ball carrying here. So, you know, it's dark. It's definitely super windy outside today. Sprinkling a little bit, all the above. So I don't know how that's going to play. We'll just have to watch and see.
Yeah. Hey, how'd you feel about John Sterling retiring immediately?
Yeah, I mean, not surprised, just because he's 85 or whatever, and so yeah. You knew it was coming decently soon. But obviously, as a Yankees fan, I'm a huge fan, and it'll be interesting to see who they put in his spot and all that good stuff. But he's really good. I just thought it was odd this close to the beginning of the season that he just didn't retire before the season started.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, what are we? Hope there's no like major health issues or anything there. That
and it kind of seems like that's not the case. I don't know. He said there's a quote there that Chuck was reading for me this morning about it. He was living his most enjoyable life this off season, and you know, was not looking forward to the beginning of the year. Well, dude, you're not 85.
Yeah, kind of.
So just retire.
Yeah, just there is this retirement button you can press at this point, but. Yeah, I figured as a radio guy and a Yankees guy, that's kind of a big impact for someone who's probably been calling games most of your lifetime.
Yeah, I think he started in the late 80s.
Late 80s, okay. Yeah. All right, keep getting your thoughts in. Yates Flooring Center chat line. Got a question of the day, a football question for the group. So we'll get to that coming up next. It is the bottom line until 3 o'clock today on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, E. Jamie Lint. Here in the First United Bank studio, Jamie in Arkansas today. We'll talk some more Tech baseball as we roll along. Y'all can keep hitting the Yates Flooring Center chat line up with your thoughts. Rangers took a 2-1 lead. Corey Seager missed a 3-run homer as the guy pulled it back over the fence. So the guy, the right fielder, whatever his name is. Jamie, I was talking about this yesterday. I used to be able to basically tell you every player on every team in Major League Baseball. Did you could do that back then, right? Back in the 90s?
I would say for the majority.
Starters is what I mean. Like, I could tell you who's the main guy at every position pretty well. And baseball cards had a ton to do with that.
Sure.
That was a helper. Now I look at all these teams when I watch baseball. I'm like, Yeah, I remember him from his college days, or I remember him, but didn't realize that they're playing on a particular team. So, like the pitcher for Detroit, Casey Mize, wasn't he a former number one pick?
Yes. Where was he from?
That's
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't remember. Can't remember.
Yeah.
speaking of number one, not number one overall, but high draft pick, Jack Leiter, the Rangers announced, will start Thursday's game. So
nice.
Expected to make his major league debut.
I was wondering about him last week. That's good.
Yep. Hopefully good. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to a question now.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
Jamie, Clint, I'm going to have you pull up your Texas Tech football rosters here. And this was a question that was posed on the Ask Level podcast, and I am not ashamed to steal things. It was a good question, so I like it. I want you guys to tell me who the top five pass catchers will be for Texas Tech in 2024 based off of yardage. Top five pass catchers for Texas Tech in 2024 based purely off of yardage.
Okay. Give me a minute to think here. Do I have to go in order?
Well, it's preferable, but you don't have to. You can throw out your five and then sort them after.
Clint, you go first.
Okay. Let's go Josh Kelly, number one.
Okay.
I am going to go Micah Hudson, number two. I think he's going to be very productive. I'm going to go Coy Aiken, three. I'm going to go Jalen Conyers, four. Ooh. Dre McCray, five.
Interesting.
Okay. Why is that? Interesting.
I just think the Conyers pick is interesting.
He feels like a wild card.
It is.
And I know with the tight ends, we've looked at issues before and been excited. And also, you're in a room that's loaded, that even just in the tight end room, you're having to split reps. I'm having him as my quote-unquote wild card pick because I think they're going to find ways to use his athleticism and draw things up specifically for him. Now, you can also do that in different ways that don't involve catching passes, if we have looked back at his tape at his former school, but I really like the athleticism that he brings, and so I think they're going to make sure he is involved.
Okay. Jamie?
So I definitely go with Josh Kelly, number one. I think I'm at Aiken at two.
Okay.
Ahead of Micah Hudson. Dre McCray is four on my list. The fifth one, it feels like a big separation for me.
Me too. Yeah.
I guess I'll give me. Give me Mason Tharp.
Mason Tharp. Okay. Yeah, if we were going touchdowns, I would probably put Tharp in my top five, but I have trouble putting a tight end in the top five just because the first 2 years in this offense, you haven't seen the tight end utilized as much as we may have thought or hoped in the passing
game. We all want it.
Yeah, well, in the passing game, they love to keep them on the field and use them in the running game. But as far as throwing the football, we just haven't seen them get involved as much. Maybe more so around the goal line. But my five are going to look very similar to y'all's. I've got Josh Kelly at number one. I'm on Clint's side, and I'll go Micah Hudson at number two. Though the health gives me a little bit of pause, and he's a true freshman. But I still have high hopes and expectations there. Number three, also Coy Aiken. So we have the same top three in varied orders. Number four, I also put Dre McCray there. But I'm still struggling to find a pass catch or a tight end. I think number five, you're going to see. I want to put one of the redshirt freshman receivers, either Kelby Valson or DJ Crest. I think both of those guys will make an impact. Caleb Douglas is kind of a wild card right now from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What? How does Taj Brooks fit in catching passes? Is my question. Like, is he getting enough yards?
I would have gone Valdez or Brown over Taj.
That's probably
just because they don't use him that way a whole bunch.
Not a lot. No, not a lot in this particular offense. He's more of a between the tackles runner, as we've seen. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would go one of the – we'll go with DJ Crest, and that could be way wrong. But I, like you said, I think there's quite a bit of separation between your top four and going into the season. Hopefully that's not the case after.
So, why do you think it is that we haven't talked more about Caleb Douglas?
I think because of his numbers at Florida, very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my guess, because I'm the same way.
And he also had an injury he's coming off of from True. Last year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming off of an injury. I think he didn't – he had 11 catches and 10 catches in the last 2 years. 175 yards, 133 yards. And, yes, there was injury involved too there. So I think that's why that you need to see it. Josh Kelly's a guy that's up there around 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think Kelly's the easy number one answer.
Would you be shocked if Hudson had more yardage than Kelly?
Surprised, not shocked.
Yeah. Same here. And you had Aiken number two as well, but
I did. I just think the relationship that he has with his, your quarterback, and it just feels like that he's going to. I don't know, that connection's just going to be there, and that's going to be option number one more times than not for Barron.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's a great reason. And Aiken, I think they posted that he had ran what, almost 22 miles an hour the other day. And their GPS system, so he's got speed, he's got pass catching ability. I'm curious if he's shifted around to the inside a little bit. He's seen a lot of this team seems to be loaded with outside receivers now, so I think you're going to see guys move around a lot within this offense and play different positions to try to get your playmakers the ball. I hope that's the case, because you know, Jamie, the pass catching / wide receiver room has just been one of your bigger disappointments the last couple of seasons. But it feels like a strength going into next year. Mm-hmm. You agree or disagree?
On paper, it is.
Yeah,
I thought it was a strength going into last year.
Yeah, and that's why I'm cautious, because it felt like it should have been a strength last year, but it wasn't.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.